Good morning, everyone. And welcome to our service of worship for this morning. Everybody's back in the McClellan room this morning. It must be warmer back there. Just give folks a chance to settle in this morning. And while folks here in the building are settling in, a welcome to those who are joining us on the live stream. It is good to have you with us in worship this morning. And perhaps this morning, our live stream congregation is just a little bit bigger because it's too cold to go outside today, both here in Cornwall and in many other places across North America. So welcome to anyone who's joining us this morning because they're staying warm inside today. It's a pleasure to have you join in worship. Announcements as we gather each week are on the screens, as we always make note, but there are a few in the bulletin to draw to your attention that you might make note of those that are most important to you. The Burns Coffee House, a reminder, is next Saturday evening at 6:30. Tickets will be available this morning in the back. Right here, right, Trish says. And they will also be available in the office till the 28th. Was that the date that we said? So there's a bit of a deadline. I think the 28th is Wednesday. So if you want tickets, make a big note that you need to get them quickly. And we are, of course, preparing for the annual meeting. Reports are due tomorrow so that we can start to compile them and publish them and get them out to you in good time. The annual meeting is scheduled for Sunday, March the 1st, following worship. The ladies of the church are reminded of the annual meeting of the WOC on Wednesday the 28th. So you can stop in and get your tickets from Rob for the burn supper on your way up to the meeting, ladies. But WOC meeting is in the McClellan room on Wednesday at 10 a.m. And tax receipts are available at the back of the church this morning, so you can collect yours as you prepare to leave. Do always check them from time to time, especially in the day and age where money comes into the church office now through e-transfers at all kinds of different times. So it makes it just that much harder to kind of note to keep track of things and to note if we've missed something in particular. So do review your tax receipt, and if there's any problems, let Rob know in the church office. And finally, it is with sadness this morning that we share the news of the sudden passing of Barry Mack this past week. Barry and Anita have been faithful members here at St. John's for the last couple of years, and so we express our sympathies to Anita and her family. There is a card at the back, I believe, for signing, so please make sure you get your name on that this morning. And yesterday morning was Les Fold's 106th birthday. Les hasn't been present with us in worship for since COVID, but he's 100, so he gets the note. Anybody else I would give a hard time about, but Les is when you hit 100, I know Barb and Brenda were over to see Les yesterday and to take best wishes of the congregation to him, but if you know Les and would like to give him a call and wish him happy birthday today, I'm sure he'd still receive them with grace. Let us light the Christ candle as we gather and worship this morning as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his disciples seek to walk in his paths and follow his ways. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Let us pray. Lord of all power and might, giver of strength and joy, transform the poverty of our nature into the riches of your glory, that as we come in worship this morning, we may be changed, and that your grace and goodness may be revealed in and through us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The opening hymn for this morning is 267 in the Book of Praise, Rejoice, the Lord is King, hymn 267. As we enter into worship, we stand in the light of God, of Christ, where the shadows of our hearts are revealed. Let us tell the truth about ourselves, trusting in God's grace, that we might receive mercy and be renewed, as we come now, saying together the prayer of confession as it appears before us. Glorious God, you are all wisdom and a lamp to our feet. Yet we fail to listen to you and neglect to follow your guidance. Forgive us, heal us, and lead us on, that we may walk in your ways and be happy in your refuge. In Jesus our Christ we pray. Amen. Friends, the good news of the gospel is that God has sent his Son to vanquish the powers of this earth that ensnare us in sin, and renew us to true life in God's everlasting kingdom. Hear the good news and rejoice. In Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. And as God has forgiven us, so too we are to be forgiving one of another. Let us turn to our neighbors now and extend to them a sign of the peace of Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you all. Our second hymn is an old favorite from the old Book of Praise. Oh, wherefore do the nations rage? Let us stand to sing. Are here because I just shook my hands. So come on up, guys. You usually come up and just wait. And while the young people are coming up, a reminder, of course, during this year as we're moving through the Psalms and dwelling in the Psalms, hymnody is going to change for us from what we usually do. Usually we're thematic in how we choose hymns. And while our ancestors would have sung all of the Psalms in worship, because that was the Presbyterian thing to do. Over the years, we've gotten out of that habit. Other hymns have crept in, although you will note always for the last two hymn books, this one and the one that preceded it, even though we did not sing, we did not have settings for all of the metrical psalms, the psalms still have pride of place at being at the very front of our hymn books. But because I'm preaching on psalms, I'm always looking for hymns that go with the psalms this year. And because we've kind of been moving things around, sometimes I have to go back to the previous hymn book to find a setting of the psalm. So we sang Why Do the Nations Rage this morning, which was the second hymn in the last book of praise. You know what was the first hymn, don't you? Psalm 1. And probably you want to take a guess at what the third hymn was? Psalm 3, yeah, that's how it works. So anyway, we'll talk about psalms and psalm singing throughout the year, I'm sure, but that's a note, so be mindful. This morning we have a couple of hymns that aren't in the Book of Praise. They aren't as familiar perhaps as some, although both of them may be known to a few or may cause flickers of dim memories, so we hope that's the case as well. So we shall learn new psalms through the year. Good morning. So good to see you this morning. nice you can be here. I'm almost tempted to send you on a scavenger hunt this morning. Because there's one person who wore something special this morning in church. And I'm almost tempted to send you to find him. But I don't know if you would. But if you shook Mr. Edie's hand this morning or waved at him, you would have noticed that he was wearing a tartan tie this morning. If it wasn't minus 20-something outside, you might have seen my kilt this morning, but discretion sometimes is the better part of valor. Maybe next week. Maybe if you come to the burn supper. Maybe. But he's wearing his tartan tie, because today is a special day for some people. Do you know what day it is? No? Well, let me tell you. Today is the day that the church celebrates Paul's trip to Damascus. It is. Mr. Libby, do you have a tartan tie on this morning? Oh, you did the whole thing. Oh, see, I read your thing that said no kilt, and I thought no kilt. And so he's gone and beat me. So Mr. Libby, if you come and look out the side here, maybe I'll ask Wes to come forward. Come on up for a minute, Wes. Because he wore his kilt this morning, because it's Robbie Burns Day is what it is, which is the day that all Scots celebrate all things Scottish, and everybody who isn't Scottish wishes they were. So there he is in all of his glory, and we're grateful that he wore it. And because he's wearing his kilt, he's not wearing a tartan tie. That's de rigueur. I'll let you go back and sit down. Thank you. But lovely to see that this morning, isn't it? And the reason that we wanted to draw that to your attention is that through the year, we do all kinds of celebrations. Some of them are church celebrations, like the fact that on January 21st, the church celebrates the fact that Paul went to Damascus. Bet you didn't know that either. Probably more knew that it was Robbie Burns Day. We celebrate Robbie Burns Day. We celebrate we celebrate days that have saints associated with them. So St. Valentine's Day, we remember. St. Patrick's Day, we remember. And especially if you're Irish, and on St. Patrick's Day, if you're not Irish, you wish you were. And all kinds of different things. December the 5th, is it the 5th or the 6th? I always get it wrong. Fifth, sixth, that's the big Dutch celebration. They celebrate St. Nicholas in the Dutch church on December the 6th. We celebrate all of these things. They're particular celebrations sometimes for different groups of people, sometimes for the church as a whole. But we always do celebrations. And since Mr. Libby has special dress on this morning, in a couple of weeks, when Serge and Young Sik are in worship, they will be wearing traditional Korean clothes for their Korean New Year celebration, which happens in February. So something to look forward to. We all have our little things that we do to celebrate. And this morning, up here, downstairs you're still learning about Jesus. Are we still in John? Are we still John chapter 2? First Corinthians. Wow. Damascus isn't in that, I don't think. You're going to learn about 1 Corinthians. I can't wait to learn what you learn in Sunday school this morning when you come up and tell me afterwards this morning. But up here, your grandma and all of the rest of us, we're going to learn about our belief in God and how God is the king of all of the nations, which is what we just sang about, right? So that's our lesson up here, that we believe in a God who watches over all of us, and that's something worth celebrating. So that's our lesson up here. I can't wait. You have to come up and tell me what you learned about 1 Corinthians when you're done church school this morning, okay? And you can go with Trish now, and she'll take you downstairs, and we'll see you after worship. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of grace, Help us to know your ways and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation. And with confidence, we await the coming of your kingdom. Amen.
It's from Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountains to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but they doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The second reading is from Revelation chapter 11, verses 15 to 19. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever." Then the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, singing, "We give you thanks, Lord God Almighty, who are and who were, for you have taken your great power and begun to reign. The nations raged, but your wrath has come, and the time for judging the dead, for rewarding your servants, the prophets and saints, and all who fear your name, both small and great, and for destroying those who destroy the earth." Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant was seen within his temple. And there were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and heavy hail.
Our next hymn is one that may be familiar to some. It's not one that's in the Book of Praise. It's an old gospel hymn, so it's a bit of a rouser. The words are written by Sir Isaac Watt, who wrote many of our hymns, and the music by Robert Lowry, who is a hymn writer that has written many of the hymn tunes for hymns. Buckle up. It moves right along. I'm going to ask, could we sing through, could you play, Olivia and Dan, can you find the words for the chorus? And we'll sing through, Olivia will play through the chorus first, and we'll sing through the chorus, so at least you have a sense of how the chorus is going to go. And then when we sing the hymn, you can at least sing the chorus and then join with the choir as you feel comfortable in the verses. So let's begin by hearing the chorus. you catch on? We're going to sing it in a couple of weeks again. It's scheduled for another service down the road, so we will get a chance to practice once more. Our psalm reading for this morning is taken from Psalm 2. Let us listen for God's word to his people as we read together Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds asunder and cast their cords from us." He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord has them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, "I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell the decree of the Lord." And he said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like the potter's vessel. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and with trembling kiss his feet, or he will be angry, and you will perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Happy are they who take refuge in him." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This past week in Davos, Switzerland, the great and the good of the world gathered together at the World Economic Forum to reflect upon the state of the world, to make connections with others, and to negotiate deals for their companies or their countries. It is a very dignified affair, I suspect. Lots of people standing around holding teacups with their pinkies out. Men, predominantly still men, in suits and ties, smiling and shaking hands with one another as if they have known each other forever. But behind the scenes, just out of sight of all of the cameras that capture the good and the great, was the cut and parry of international relations. Discussions and debates that we have grown far too familiar with, I'm afraid to say, these days. Threats of tariffs and annexations and countervailing measures and newly formed alliances. And Psalm 2. Maybe not read out loud, but enacted in every one of those discussions. Why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and his anointed, saying, "Let us burst their bonds asunder and cast their cords from us." Sorry, I do Psalm 2 in Elizabethan or Handelian English. Let us burst their bonds apart, not burst their bonds asunder. That's a wonderful chorus from Handel's Messiah, but it's not what the Bible said this morning, so I better stay consistent. As we were talking about this reading downstairs, both Olivia and I burst into song as this piece is various parts of Handel's Messiah. But in these meetings and speeches at Davos this week, to get back to the sermon now, and all of that in behind the scenes intrigue that was taking place, it all serves as a reminder to us of the words that we hear in Psalm 2, and that they are as relevant to us today as they were thousands of years ago when the psalm was first composed and the hearers who heard it for the first time listened to these words. Psalms 2 has been suggested by many to be a companion piece to Psalm 1, which you heard last week. And we will explore together in a minute some of the sinew material that holds the two of them together. But first, a little something about this psalm in general. One of the blessings that we're going to experience this year as we read the Psalms together and spend this whole year dwelling in the Psalms is that we are going to have time and space and structure to notice all of the different types of Psalms that exist. And this one this morning ticks two boxes. It's two types of Psalms rolled into one. First, you may have noted that this morning's psalm, it's got a very different tone than the one that we read last week, a very different vibe. Last week's psalm was personal and seemed to speak to each of us individually, didn't it? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight, your delight, is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. But this morning's text is different. It's communal in nature. It isn't about you and me. It's about kings and rulers and nations, which brings us to the second box. There are a collection of psalms in the Psalter that focus on the role of the king within the society of ancient Israel. And it is believed that this is one of a collection of coronation psalms that exists in the Psalter, celebrating the enthronement of God's anointed king. So there's that too. Communal and one of the psalms addressed to the king. And while quite different in tone, there are indeed elements, as we noted, that tie these two psalms together like sinew holds muscle to the bone. At the larger level, at the macro level, both of these psalms, Psalm 1 and Psalm 2, recognize the very real temptation for us to be pulled away from the wisdom of God. Whether it's you and me in our daily lives or whether it is the lives of nations, that is always the struggle that we face, to avoid the temptation of wandering from God's will and God's way. Whether it be in those who sneer at faith and question how one could ever believe in an all-powerful God on the personal level, or nations who have turned their backs on their citizens in a bald attempt to gain power, as is the case noted in Psalm 2. The psalmist's starting point is that the God in whom we trust is sovereign over all of life, both large and small, corporate and personal. But more than that, there are little clues. There are things that if we were reading this psalm in the original Hebrew, we would note we're holding it together. While last week we celebrated those who meditate on the law of the Lord and day and night, this week the psalmist begins by pondering, why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain? The word that is rendered as meditate in Psalm 1 that we read last week is the same word that is rendered conspire in Psalm 2. It is the same Hebrew word. And these two words are enveloped by blessings. Psalm 1 begins, "Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked." And Psalm 2 concludes, "Happy are those who take refuge in him." Together, the two psalms then are this matched pair, like two shoes sitting together in your closet. They are a matched pair that set up the centrality of God's righteousness as the guiding star of our lives. And along the way, who note how difficult it is sometimes to follow that guiding star. Psalm 2 establishes for us this dual vision of reality. That while we live in a world in which nations and rulers vie for power, there is a God who sits enthroned above all and who looks down on the nations as they scurry about doing their busy things that they do and laughs. It's like the image of a child who might laugh as she watches the ants in the anthill scurry around when the earth is disturbed. So God looks down on the busyness of our world and laughs. But the King of Israel, God's anointed, to whom this psalm has been addressed, has been chosen to rule the nation according to God's wisdom, to reflect the justice and mercy of God on earth as it is in heaven. That line that we say so often in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," is not merely wishful thinking or some out there way off somewhere in time future, but it is an articulation of the central reality of the life of faith, that God is working out the salvation of the world now. And that God longs for something more out of us now. That all those things that distract us from the pursuit of God's justice are fleeting realities. Assuming in the sight of God, amusing in the sight of God, but meaningless in their significance. In the end, God has a vision of our world that is far greater than the imagining of mere rulers or titans of power. This has been the hope and the longing of the children of God for all of the spiritual account from Genesis chapter 3 forward. This is the yearning of people of faith, that God will reestablish his kingdom, and that justice and righteousness will guide us and all. We long that the sands of time might come to a rest, and the wonder and the goodness of God's creation would be fully realized. Through the scripture of the Old Testament, if we listen carefully, we hear the longing expressed time and again, through prophets, through priests, through kings, and all of those who would seek to follow God. And it is that same longing that links those of us of the New Testament tradition with our ancestors of the past who found their hope for God in the Hebrew scriptures. And here today especially, you may have heard echoes of the story of the life of Christ reverberating through this psalm. Psalm 2 introduces us to the use of the name for the Davidic kings in the Hebrew tradition, Messiah, the Anointed One. It was there in verse 2 if you missed it. And then in verse 7, the psalm goes on, and it, as the king is enjoined to read from the decree, the proclamation establishing that this one is the ruler that God has anointed. And we hear those words that fill the church in this season of the year. This season of the year that begins with the appearance of the Magi at Epiphany and moves through the celebration of Jesus' baptism all the way through to Jesus' transfiguration on the last Sunday before Lent. And we hear also the declaration of the mystery of the Trinity from John's Gospel. All of them are combined into that one verse, verse 7, when it says, "I will tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.'" It is impossible for us as Christians not to hear references to Jesus in those words, and how Christ stands in the tradition of the kings of Israel who sought to embody God's justice in all that they did. But we begin by recognizing the ongoing love of God, a love of God that follows an arc of history in which we stand, but of which we are just a small part. And that recognition, then, also pushes us forward into service. As we stand in that arc of history, in that long line of the great crowd of witnesses who have seen glimpses of God's grace and God's glory in their lives or in the lives of those around them and who have relished their blessings to us, then we too are called to work for justice in our world in acts large and small. Through the sharing of ourselves and the use of our resources, as we give gifts to Presbyterian Sharing to support the work of our denomination across our country or around the world, as we collect tangible things that we can share with our neighbors, like the gifts that we collect for hospice or Agape or so many other agencies that we support as a congregation and partner with. To advocacy for fair and just government policy in things like healthcare or immigration or countless other things. Each is our overcoming the acquisitive nature of the kingdom of this world, the addiction to wanting more and more, that all might have enough and experience God's providential grace in their lives. So as you listen to the news or click through your social media account and are confronted by the noise that is all around us, the raging of the nations and the conspiring of kings and rulers to acquire more, listen instead for God. And seek him where he may be found. Worship God's glory, because this is the truth that we know. God is with us, and God will persevere. Let us give thanks to God for his abiding presence with us and his inspiration in our lives that keeps us moving towards justice each and every day. Amen. Our affirmation of faith for this morning is taken from the Living Faith document, a confession of faith of the Presbyterian Church in Canada, from chapter 10 of that document, which is entitled Our Hope in God. And we read from selected portions of that reading. This affirmation of faith is responsive, and you are invited to join in where indicated. God has prepared for us things beyond our imagining. Our hope is for a renewed world and for fullness of life in the age to come. as Jesus taught us, we pray, Thy kingdom come. Life in the age to come is pictured in the Bible in different ways. An eternal kingdom, a new heaven and earth, a marriage feast, an unending day, the Father's house, and the joy of God's presence. God will triumph over all opposition and everything that disrupts creation. Life had its beginning in God, and in God it will come to completion and its meaning be fully revealed. All creation will find fulfillment in God. Christ will come again. Only God knows when and how our Lord will return. Now we see in part, then we shall see face to face. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our God has revealed to us a law and a love that leads us into becoming God's own daughters and sons. Therefore, let us gratefully give from that which we have, which has first been given to us, our lives, our talents, and our possessions, as we present to God our offerings. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, for each small and perfect gift that is given from your hand, we give you thanks and praise, because each gift is a tool by which we can serve you to build your kingdom and to show your love to the world. Take what we present this day and bless it that it might be to others a blessing. All given in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Thank you. As we come once more in prayer this morning, there is a response to this morning's prayers of the people. When you hear the words, Lord, when our resources run dry, you're invited to respond with the words, by your love, transform us. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, there are times when life can run out of its resources, times when life can be dull and dreary. Lord, when our resources run dry, by your love, transform us. We pray for a church often appearing old and dry, a church that can be rigid in practice, unbending in attitude, a church lacking in gifts, failing to bring light and joy, seemingly running out of the richness of the gospel. Lord, when our resources run dry, by your love, transform us. We pray for our ever-changing world, a world often depleted of energy, running short of vision, a world misusing its resources. We pray for the rainforests, for lands where the desert is increasing, and for all impoverished people. Lord, when our resources run dry, by your love, transform us. We pray for homes that are caught up in dull routines, for homes that are not life-giving or life-restoring. We pray for those who are exhausted in caring for others. Lord, when our resources run dry, by your love, transform us. We remember before you the world weary and all who find life dull and dreary, all whose lives lack sparkle and spirit. We remember the despairing and the depressed, all who are worn out, who have run out of energy. Lord, when our resources run dry, by your love, transform us. We think of the time when all resources run out, when the heart stops and life ceases. We rejoice that you are the Lord who restores and redeems. You give us life which is eternal. We remember loved ones who have departed, and especially this day, we remember Barry Mack. Lord, when our resources run dry, by your love, transform us. Surround us all with your peace, O merciful God, that as we wait upon the Lord, we shall be renewed in strength, and that the peace of God may dwell in us always. Keep us faithful to the promises that we make as we confess faith each day and as we pray the prayer which Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn for this morning is Your Kingdom Come, O God, number 269 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before you on the screen.
Come, O God, your will thy ways begin.
And now let us go forth into the world, seeking to love and serve the Lord in all that you say and do. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen. The peace of